Hey, again, we just want to say so glad you could join us. I want to give a special welcome to those of you that are newer to Crossroads. Maybe you're watching for the first or second time. We are glad that you are here. Hey, we are in week two of a series that we are calling Not Normal. And if you've been to the store lately, you know that things are done there that not as they normally are. I was in Dollar General just the other week, and after I grabbed some things, took them up to the checkout line, and running from the checkout line, they had these X's duct taped to the floor, telling you where to stand every 6 feet apart. And as I went and took my spot there, I understand why those duct taped X's were there, and I'm all for social distancing and trying to do things to limit the spread of the virus. But if I'm honest, there still was something inside of me that just bristled at the fact that I was being told exactly where I had to stand. I think for many of us in the unique season that we find ourselves in, part of the struggle is that we're not able to do the things that we want to do, things that we took for granted before, certain freedoms that we had to be able to go to places when we wanted to go to them and do what we wanted to do. And now there's all these restrictions being placed on us, and we're told where we can go and where we can't go, and we're told who can work and who can't work, and we're told how many gallons of milk we can buy, and we're told where we have to stand in line in the grocery store. And there's just something inside of me that got frustrated at that. You know, I just wanted to be able to stand where I wanted to stand and do what I wanted to do. And so as I'm standing there on that duct tape X, there was just this moment of defiance that came over me. I'm just like, no, I'm going to stand where I want to stand. And I just took a little half step forward. And I'm like, ha, there you go. You can't tell me where to stand. I stand where I want to stand. Right? And maybe you've wrestled through that as well. What is it about many of us that we desire, we elevate, we prioritize this idea of personal freedom, that we can do what we want to do, when we want to do it, go where we want to go, and we should be able to live our lives as we see fit? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today, is this idea of freedom. And for many of us, living in the culture that we live in, this American culture elevates this idea of freedom. It's woven into the fabric of who we are. And those of us that have grown up here, it's woven into the fabric of our subconscious. And as we look around and we elevate that desire to be able to do what we want to do, go where we want to go, and live our lives as we see fit. So it's perfectly normal to have those thoughts. It's perfectly normal to be frustrated at when you feel those things are being limited. But as Chris led us in at the beginning of this series last week, as he talked about Romans chapter 12, we learned that as Christians, we're not called to be perfectly normal. We're not called to conform to the world around us, but instead we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so when it comes to this way that many of us define this idea of freedom as this ability to do as we see fit, I have to ask the question, is that really what true freedom is? Is that what Scripture talks about when it talks about freedom? The irony of how many of us define freedom is that as we pursue these desires that we feel free to pursue, we can actually become controlled by those very things that we pursue. Let me explain it this way. For many of us, maybe you've struggled with an addiction or a habit. And what started out, what seemed like freedom for you to pursue the thing that you wanted to pursue, pretty soon you realize that this very thing that you once sought in freedom now is pursuing you and is controlling you. Or maybe for some of us in this season, it's a time of just intense emotions and strong feelings. And maybe you've had a time recently where in the midst of this emotion, there were things that you wanted to say, so you let words fly, and now you're left with the weight of regret for the things that you said, that you thought you were free to say, and now the damage that it's caused. Or for many of us, maybe in the season of feelings, it's fear or anxiety or worry. And the reality is, for many of us, that we pursue these things in freedom, and we don't realize how they're weighing us down. We don't realize the effect that they have on us. And we think we're free to go where we want to go and do what we want to do. And we don't realize this whole time there's this thing that's weighing us down, that's impacting us, that's influencing us, and ultimately controlling us. And think about it in terms of a relationship. Think about somebody that you care about, that you love. What would happen to that relationship if you always did what you wanted to do when you wanted to do it? Is that going to be good for the relationship? I imagine in time it would create some division, some separation. The same thing is true in our relationship with God, that when we pursue this idea of freedom, if we define it as doing what we want to do, eventually that's going to lead us down some paths where we make choices and decisions that are contrary to the heart of God, contrary to the way that he created us, and it creates this separation, this division. The Bible calls that sin, and it says that the result of sin is death because it separates us from the life source of God himself. And so for many of us, we can think that we're free and we fail to realize we're carrying around the weight of our consequences and our choices, and even just the weight of other people's consequences and choices, and the weight just of the brokenness of the world around us. So today we're going to read some scripture that talk about this idea of freedom. We're going to be in Romans chapter 7, the end of chapter 7, and we're going to read some spots throughout Romans chapter 8 and see what the Apostle Paul has to say as he unpacks this idea. And what I love about this scripture at the end of Romans chapter 7 is it is so relatable. And at least for me, it's relatable. Maybe for you too. So listen to what Paul says as he talks about understanding, coming to this realization of the idea that this thing that he carries is weighing him down. It's tangling up and it's controlling his behavior. Listen to what he says, starting at the end of verse 18. He says, I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. I've discovered this principle in life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. And then he comes to this conclusion about why that's such a struggle for him. In verse 23, he says this. He says, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is within me. And this is why our definitions of freedom fall short so many times, because we think we're just free to pursue what we want and we fail to realize that we're actually slaves. We're actually under control to this thing that's within us, that's separating us from God. And then he goes on just feeling the weight and the struggle, and he declares, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that's dominated by sin and by death? And maybe you can relate to that struggle. I know I can at times in my life. But the good news is that Paul answers this question. He has an answer to it. And he goes on in the next verse and he says, thank God the answer is in Christ our Lord. And he goes on to explain why that's the answer at the beginning of chapter 8. He says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. And so we walk around with this weight, being impacted and influenced. We think that we're free, but maybe, just maybe, what Paul's saying is that true freedom's not the ability to do what we want to do, but true freedom looks a little bit more like this. That we're released from this power, this weight that's influencing us and impacting us. And that's what Paul's talking about. And the truth, when it talk about true freedom, not as we define it, but as Scripture defines it, true freedom is found in Christ. Jesus has made it possible. With what we celebrated a couple weeks ago with Easter, his death and his resurrection, he defeated sin and death and the grave. And now because of him, we can be freed from that power of sin. And when Christ sets us free, it's not being free to, again, to do what we want. No, it's free to make a choice. So Paul goes on as he writes in Romans 8, and he talks about this in verse 6. He says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and to peace. Did you notice that he didn't give an option where there's not something controlling us? See, that's the illusion about what we think as freedom. We think we're free, but the reality is there is always something controlling you. But because of Christ, we have the freedom to make a choice. And we get to choose what controls us. And we can continue on in the path and letting our sinful nature and our desires and live in that brokenness in the world. And Paul says that leads to death. Or we can choose to let the Spirit controls us, to control us, and that leads us to life and to peace. And so we have the freedom to make this choice. True freedom is found in Christ because of what he has done. And then when we apply it to our life, we submit to the Holy Spirit and the Spirit begins to work inside us. He transforms us. Then true freedom begins to be lived out through the Holy Spirit. It's lived out through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's what Chris was talking about last week when he's saying we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. It's letting the Spirit control us, control our minds, control our thoughts, and lead us into who God created us to be. Yet so many of us still struggle to experience that true freedom. And I think one of the reasons is a foundational aspect of understanding what God does in us is understanding what he has done for us and how he sees us through our identity. So while true freedom is made possible because of what Christ has done, and then true freedom is lived out in our life through the Holy Spirit, true freedom is realized in our identity. It begins to be lived out and understood in our life as we begin to let the Spirit remind us who we truly are in Christ. Paul writes about this as he continues on in Romans. So in Romans, chapter 8, verses 15 to 17, he says this. He says, you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves because we've been freed. He said, instead, you've received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him the most intimate of terms, Abba, Father. See, Paul's pointing out that our identity has changed. When you make a decision to place your faith and trust in Christ, then the Spirit of God comes and fills you and can lead you and to transform you. And then it's the Spirit's job to remind you who you truly are. Because that moment you made that decision to place your faith and trust in Christ, your identity changes. And now you're no longer separated from God, but you're now a part of his family. He has adopted you into his family, and now you belong. You belong to the family of God, and you can connect with God in an intimate way, calling him Father. It's a beautiful thing. Paul, in a different letter, the letter to the Ephesians, says this in a similar way in chapter 1, verses 4 to 5. It says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ. Listen to this. To be holy and without fault in his eyes. See, again, your identity has changed. And because of Jesus, when God looks at you, he sees you now as holy and without fault in his eyes. And then Paul continues to talk about some things in the way that he did in Romans. He said, God decided you in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Now, here's the problem. So many of us define our identity. We see ourselves based upon what we do. And so when we look at what we do, we say, well, I've sinned and I've failed and I've made these mistakes. And so if I define myself based upon what I do, therefore I must be the sinner. I must be a failure. I must be this huge mistake because I've done these things. And we miss that that's not our true identity. That's not how God sees us. That yes, we all have sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. But that sin drives us to the cross. And once you make a decision to place your faith and trust in Jesus, then your identity shifts. And now you are holy and you're blameless and you're a child of God. And that is how God sees you. But the problem for so many of us is we don't understand that identity and we don't apply that truth to who we are and we just see ourselves in our old ways. We see ourselves in the old ways and say, no, look, I do this, I make this mistake, and so therefore I'm a sinner. The thing about your identity and the reason it's so important is because your identity impacts what you do. And really, the actions flow out of how you see yourself. So if you see yourself to be a sinner or a failure, then it's no big deal if you sin or fail because, well, what do you expect a sinner to do? They sin. And that's where we fall short in living out in this true freedom that I think God wants us to live. He wants to remind us know who we truly are. And so when you begin to understand that you belong, That Jesus, because of what Jesus has done, God sees you as holy and blameless and perfect, and you're a part of his family, then our actions can begin to live up to that identity. And as the Spirit works in us, can transform us so that each year we're more and more and more in line with the way that God truly sees us. Let me explain it this way. Let's talk in terms of basketball. I know many of you are going through sports withdrawal right now. So here's a little bit of NBA trivia for you. Who is the all-time greatest free throw shooter in the NBA? Answer is a guy named Steve Nash. Steve Nash, his free throw percentage is 90%. He sinks 9 out of 10 shots from the line. Now, what makes Steve Nash interesting isn't how many baskets he makes, but it's what he does before he even gets the ball in his hands. I want you to take a look. We've got some video here of a game. And I want you to take a look of what he does before he even gets the ball in his hands. Check this out. See what he's doing here? Before he even gets the ball in his hands. And then he takes a shot. What's he doing? He's taking practice shots. What is he doing? He's visualizing himself shooting the basket. Now, here's my question for you. In what he's imagining in his mind as he's taking these practice shots, is he seeing the ball leave his hands, fly through the air, hit the rim, and bounce off? Do you think that he would have 9 out of 10 shots from the line if he imagined himself missing every time he took that shot? No, what's he doing? It's about the way he sees himself. He's seeing himself making the shot. And so this is what I'm saying about living into the identity of who we truly are. That if you see yourself as a sinner and a failure and how far short you fall, then it's no big deal for you to sin because that's how you see yourself. But if you see yourself in the truth of how God sees you, that you are holy and blameless and without fault in his eyes, that you are a child of God, then you're going to be more likely than to begin to live up to that. Because our behavior and our beliefs flow out of the fact that we belong to God's family. See, so often religion flips it around. We get it backwards and we think that we have to behave a certain way and we have to believe a certain way just to belong. But no, because of Jesus, you belong in God's family. He's already adopted you into his family. Now our behaviors then flow out of that fact. And we can begin to live into the freedom and begin to express that out when our identity and how we see ourselves lines up with the eternal truth of how God sees you in this moment. So true freedom isn't about doing what I want to do when I want to do it. True freedom is found in what Christ has done for us. It's found in the choice that we get to make. Do we continue to follow my sinful desires or do I follow where the Spirit is leading me? And then it begins to be realized in how we see ourselves that when our true identity lines up with how Christ sees us, then our actions will flow out of that and we can begin to live in that freedom that God has called us and created us to live. It's about how God sees you. It's not who you think you are, but it's who God thinks you are and God sees you as free. Well, I want to share a story today of somebody who has experienced that freedom and knows what we are talking about. He wants to share his story here. Check this out.
I'm Seth Alford. For most of my life, I've had problems with drugs and alcohol, or so I thought, until God intervened and showed me that really was a drug and alcohol solution. I always tried to live up to expectations and standards that I placed for myself and that I let the world put on me and let loved ones and place on me of who I should be, how I should act, the things I should own, to be a man, to be a husband, to be a father, what success looked like. And the thing with these expectations is that it always just left me feeling defeated, like good was never good enough. And it just always had me feeling less than. So as I said, to me, the drugs and alcohol wasn't the problem. The problem was fear of rejection, inadequacy, fear of failure, need of approval from others. And my best efforts at living up to those expectations that I placed on myself and who and how I thought I should be as a man and as a husband and father. Should have left me dead in a ditch on November 16th, 2018. After a night of drinking, I was on my way home and I didn't make it. I ended up flipping my truck and taking out two telephone poles. But God's grace stepped in. That's the grace of God. It's not because of, definitely not because of how I had lived and because I was some great guy that just deserved God's love, mercy, and grace, but just because of who He was. I'm free to just live in response to the love, mercy, and grace that He gave me that I don't deserve. I'm free to fail. That's been a big one for me, is that I can share my failures, my struggles, my anxieties, my fears with others, knowing that it's okay. That gives me hope that the circumstances around me, the things going on around me, I don't have to fear, I don't have to be so anxious about, because that's not that all that there is for life. It also gives me hope for today that I don't have to do life perfect. I don't have to be perfect. That being a Christian doesn't all of a sudden make a perfect me. So as we're going through this season right now, you would think that I would just have the faith and have the trust and not have any doubts or worries or anxieties about the future, as with the coronavirus. It's caused some anxieties. It's affected us as a family, and me and my thought life has affected me. I have faith that God's going to take care of things and that things will work out and that He provides and protects us. But that doesn't take away the butterflies or the feelings that I get sometimes in the pit of my stomach and in the quiet moments. But the difference in today and in years past is that today I'm free to share those burdens, those anxieties, and those feelings with others. I've had great friends that have come alongside me to encourage, to pray for me. I even have friends that have come over to see me, and through the prayers and the support and encouragement, things that used to throw me off and be huge mountains in my life have flattened in a sense and don't hold as much weight. In the past, being so worried about what other people thought of me or how would that look to other people always kept me in bondage. And so knowing that I don't have to live up to any standard or expectation or anything, that I'm just called to live in response to the love that God gives me, has freed me to be able to share those. And by sharing those, like I was saying, it's been amazing the love and support that's been poured out on me and my family.
I so appreciate Seth sharing his story and his journey in finding freedom through the grace of God. Appreciate his honesty there. As we wrap up here, I just want to look at the point where Paul gets into Romans chapter 8, and his thought kind of comes to this crescendo moment, and he asks a couple questions that I think maybe some of us are asking in this season. In Romans 8:35, Paul says, "Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or if we're persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger?" And maybe those are similar questions to things that have been rolling through your mind in this season. You look around and see all the stuff that's going on, and you're saying, man, does God really love us? Is it all the stuff to be going on? Or maybe you look at your own life and you see the choices you've made and you say, does God really love me? Can He really love somebody who's done what I have done? And the beauty of what Paul writes as he brings us to this crescendo is he answers this unequivocally. And this is the source, what he talks about. He's talking about God's love, and it is the source of everything that makes this idea of true freedom possible. And so I'm just going to read what Paul writes because he says it way better than I could ever say it. And as we wrap up, I just want to ask you in this moment, wherever you are, wherever you're watching this, if you just close your eyes, take a deep breath. Let the truth of these words sink into your soul. Paul writes, he says, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. May you understand the richness of God's love for you. May you understand that true freedom flows out of his love for us, that Christ demonstrated his love for us on the cross and purchased our freedom. May you yield control to the Holy Spirit working in you to transform you, to live that freedom out. And may you understand and see yourself in the way that God truly sees you. That you are not who you think you are. You are who God says you are, and God says that you are free. Let us live this out. In Jesus' name, amen.